Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM, which is being brought to you by
Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire.
This week on our Focus Friday, we have Village Administrator for Millersburg, Nate Troyer, for WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick. Good morning, Nate. Thank you so much for stopping in and joining with us here on Focus Fridays.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
And so you are the Village Administrator, like we introed you there. And so just for anybody who doesn't know, let's just get the basic synopsis of what a Village Administrator is.
Sure. So as a Village Administrator, I'm responsible for the... I classify it as the day-to-day management of the village outside of the police department. So the chief of police handles everything police department related. I kind of oversee the rest of it, whether that's water, sewer, streets, parks, cemetery, zoning, floodplain, those kind of things I handle.
And so as the village administrator, how do you get into that position?
So I started with the village in 2003. I was hired as a code enforcement inspector to help with zoning and, you know, building projects that were going on, our own projects that were going on, to be like an on-site representative for the village for, you know, water line replacement or sidewalk installation, that kind of thing. I did that till 2008, roughly, I believe it was. That's many years ago now, where I was appointed administrator. I'm sorry, it was 2011 when I became administrator, and I've been doing it ever since.
So you say you were appointed to that position?
Yeah, it's an appointed position. I'm, you know, the mayor and council are elected positions. They have to be residents. I'm an appointed position. The fiscal officer is also appointed. We used to have clerk treasurer that was elected. We've transitioned that to fiscal officer. That's an appointed position. So yeah, I'm appointed by the mayor with the approval of council.
And is this something that you need any special requirements to do, any college education or any certifications or anything to be in that position? Because that's a lot of things that you're overseeing.
Yeah, it's a pretty wide variety of disciplines, I guess. There's not a statutory requirement for, you know, like an attorney to become a judge. You should be an attorney or whatever. There's no statutory requirement for an administrator, but practically there is. I've got a civil engineering degree. That's my background, education-wise. There's usually two avenues that people get into either city or village administration, public works administration. There's specific degrees in those fields, and that's what you'd typically find in bigger cities. Those folks have gone, got their master's in public works administration or something like that, or civil engineering. Those are kind of the routes that lead to these careers.
Now, with the water and the sewer, do you have to have any of those licenses? Because you guys have somebody who helps maintain your water. You just oversee the department, right?
Yeah. So our utility department, we have a staff of five currently. Every one of them have water or sewer licensure currently. I also have a Class 2 water license. That was something I did early on, early 2000s. We had a shortage of licensed operators, and so I went and got mine and have maintained it ever since then.
You make it sound like it's so easy, but that is not an easy test.
It's not, no.
I just went and got it.
No, it took a lot. I don't want to downplay that at all. It is difficult. There was a lot of studying. We were fortunate. We had a good instructor come in and help us after hours. We'd stay after work, and a group of us studied together and did practice exams and read books and did flashcards for months, and then went and took the test. Fortunately, I passed.
Now, since you have your civil engineering degree, is village administrative style work what you thought you were going to do with that, or it just kind of happened?
Honestly, I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But
don't we all kind of have that a little bit?
Yeah. No, I guess it didn't. When I got into college, I was thinking more I'd be traditional civil engineer in a firm somewhere that would work with cities or, you know, commercial clients. And honestly, my interest was more in transportation, roads, bridges. But then kind of genetically, I got into the utility side of things, my family has taken care of or been involved in Berlin Water for years, the private water company out in Berlin. So I helped out there as well, kind of post high school, college, and it really piqued my interest once I got into it. It's, you know, the nuts and bolts of how public utilities operate is fascinating.
People only knew.
Oh yeah, it's one of those things. As long as everything's working, it's out of sight, out of mind. Nobody realizes what all is involved in the day to day. When something goes bad, everybody knows, because it's one of those things that does truly affect everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As somebody who lives in a town where it happens,
yeah,
I understand.
Yep. and we're very fortunate. We've got a great staff, both the utility department and the streets department. We have phenomenal employees that they make my job so much easier. They know what they're doing. They do it without being told. If I do have to talk to them about, hey, can we look at doing this or that? Yep, no problem. Let's talk about it and figure out the best way to do it. It's we got a great team going.
And that definitely, that helps.
Oh, it makes days so much easier. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll learn more about what happens in the village administration here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. That's Village Administrator for Millersburg, Nate Troyer. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and I am with Village Administrator for Millersburg, Nate Troyer. And Nate, when we were kind of learning about your position, you had mentioned that originally you were kind of interested in the streets and that side of engineering, and that comes in handy now as a village administrator. You're involved in the street department.
Sure. Yeah, the street department. So there's currently six of them on that staff, and they oversee the maintenance and installation, you know, operations of all the streets, alleys, sidewalks. Storm sewers also falls under the street department, so all the stormwater management, and they take care of the parks and the cemetery as well. But yeah, they do a great job for us, and you know, it's interesting, the utility department, a lot of their work is constant year-round work. It's daily. Mm-hmm. You're producing water, you're collecting wastewater and treating it. Street department is seasonal. You know, right now the weather today is pretty nice and sunny, but this time of year, obviously we're focused on snow and ice removal.
Mm-hmm.
We just came out of leaf collection, leaf pickup.
A very unusual leaf pickup.
Unusual season for us. Yeah. Basically, hey, yank the box, we need to be plowing tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing. You know, in the spring, it transitions into getting the parks ready, mowing season. We mow a lot of acreage and a lot of weed eating at the cemetery and all the other properties. Transition, and you're patching roads in between that and repairing sidewalks and catch basins. And, you know, summertime is traditionally resurfacing asphalt, that kind of stuff. So a lot more variety in our seasonal variety in their work, as opposed to like the utility department. Now, I will say they have their winter woes as well.
And they kind of combine sometimes.
Sure, sure. And that's one other thing I want to real briefly touch on, throw them another kudos here, is our departments work so well together. There's not this, well, that's yours, you need to take care of it mentality. It's, yep, what do you need? We'll help you out.
They understand it all comes together.
You need a guy or two for traffic control, we'll help you out. You need a guy or two from the utility department to plow, we're tired, we need to go home. Absolutely, we'll be there. So really appreciate that.
It definitely makes things work more efficiently.
Oh, absolutely.
And you need to have things work efficiently when you're working with public people, government, and all of that, because the moment you're inefficient, you're going to know about it.
Well, yeah, and that's, so that's the crux of everything, is we're using taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. Utility department is enterprise fund money. It's a little different. It's user generated.
Mm-hmm.
But the street department is under the general fund, so it's taxpayer dollars. And we're to be good stewards of that. And I take that seriously. Our residents, our taxpayers, they deserve the best product we can give them. And we make every effort to provide that for them.
Now, in the winter, is that also a time where for like your road projects and things, you're looking for outside funding aside from just the general fund to do these street projects and
Absolutely.
Things like that?
Yeah, we're always looking at grant opportunities. We're in the design phase of our downtown sidewalk project right now that'll replace block and a half of sidewalks from Mad Anthony up to Clay Street along Jackson Street. That'll be kicking off hopefully early spring. I'm hoping we go to bid by that point. So yeah, there's four outside funding sources for that project. It's about a $430,000 project. We're contributing our annual sidewalk allocation mm-hmm. towards that project as well, so for the local share. But yeah, we're constantly looking at grants, anything we can do to stretch the dollars as far as we can.
Because a big project like that, it's hard to pull it off without doing that.
It'd be virtually impossible for us to self-fund these infrastructure projects. Worcester Road Waterline is a project that's been on my radar for years now. We've had multiple breaks on it. But I think it was around 2020, 2022, somewhere in there, we started looking at that project, got the engineering done. It was about a $250,000 project to replace 1,200 feet of water main. We got a refresh on our estimate about annually for the last 4 or 5 years. Our most recent estimate, we're at about $700,000. So there's no way we could absorb that internally.
No,
we
have to get that's a big jump.
That's a huge jump. And you know, that's something everybody's feeling. And
yes.
It doesn't matter what industry you're in, what your business is, you're feeling that inflation and ridiculous rising costs of everything. So yeah, we're fortunate. I can't spill the beans yet, but we've got some good news on the way. We're confident that we should be getting some good news here, confirmed that we've
awesome.
Got funding in place. So
watch the watch Village Council news.
Stay tuned. Yep, there should be more coming.
All right. Well, is there anything else like that happens in the street department that you oversee? You kind of got a good
So one of the interesting, you know, the parks and the cemetery are very popular mm-hmm. locations, very prominent locations mm-hmm. within the village. We've got great parks.
You guys have a lot, multiple, and you keep
yeah.
them all up.
Yeah, we've got. So there's been a real focus over the last couple of years on the parks and mainly Airport Park, mm-hmm. bringing it up to standard. It had kind of fallen off on some repairs and
you know,
just
it's
wasn't
down there
great.
Out of the way.
Yep, kind of out of sight. But you know, the sports court down there with the pickleball courts, the mm-hmm. basketball oh. court. There's still a tennis court there. New fencing, new nets, new everything. We're going to be doing a new lighting project there this year,
mm-hmm.
installing new lights around the perimeter of the court. You know, we're always looking at improvements to the fields. We've hauling in more infield dirt if we need it or whatever, mm-hmm. cleaning, straightening fence, whatever needs done. Then the cemetery as well. The guys do such a great job of maintaining the cemetery. I encourage everybody, if you've never been up to Oak Hill, drive through there and take a look around and then start imagining maintaining it. I think it's around 24
The fact that
acres.
It says Oak Hill.
Oak Hill.
Hill
yeah,
is it's, the key word.
It's a big hill. Start imagining mowing and weed eating up there. It is a never-ending process.
As soon as you get the whole thing done, it's time to start at the beginning.
You have to go
again.
Back to the beginning and start all over. It's just a continual cycle. And they do a great job of keeping it up. And
because
then,
that's something you don't want to look sloppy.
You can't. Yeah, out of respect, you want it to look good. And they, like I said, they do a phenomenal job with it. Now, there are times, don't get me wrong, if it rains for a week solid, there's not much we can do with it. We do our best, but we can't always be in there. You know, we may tear things up and make it look worse if we try to maintain it
right.
during that time. But yeah, it's a really interesting place. I encourage people to go up there and take a walk, look around, read the stones. There's a lot of history and a lot of interesting tidbits up there. It's really neat place.
Definitely. I know we did a program up there with the Historical Society.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's always fun to
I learned
learn
a lot
about
during
it.
That as well. That was very interesting.
And that didn't even hit everybody.
Right.
That just hit on a few people and
yep.
stuff. So you definitely have a wide variety of things that are covered under streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, it's when we interview a new employee, we always talk about here's the routine, here's the things we do. But don't plan on it. It'll change. You know, every day something
this
might.
This is a suggested activity list.
Yeah. And that's good. A lot of people, I'm
like that.
I'm that way. I don't want routine. I thrive more when things are thrown at me. Let's get it handled. Let's deal with it. Routine's good. You can always go back to it. There's always that stack of paperwork on my desk I need to get to. But yeah, I enjoy the variety of the job, and it bleeds down through all the departments. They're all good at handling that. Oh, well, plans changed today. Now we're doing this.
All right. Well, we will be back to learn more about what the village administrator position does with Millersburg Village Administrator Nate Troyer. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Stepping back in here with Millersburg Village Administrator Nate Troyer for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. And at the end of our last segment, you had mentioned about how the job has a lot of change. You can plan on one thing in a day and you end up five different items later and not even touch that. But as being the person in charge of all these things, I'm sure there are still things you have to do routinely to keep the village flowing.
Yeah, so a lot of those things are administrative functions, I call them. I review and approve all purchases for the village. We have a purchase order requisition process that we have to go through. So anything that's purchased from a single washer up to a new truck, I have to review and approve it. Then it goes to our fiscal officer for processing. They take care of all that. You know, along with that would be all the leave requests, personnel items. Other than police department,
right.
I don't dabble
like
in that.
You.
Yep. You know, I review and handle a lot of those things. And then there's the you know, email questions, phone calls, walk-ins, concerns, complaints, whatever that comes in, we're handling those throughout everything else as well.
Because you guys also have the app that you use,
yeah.
And you know, just really also making sure that the information's getting out.
Right. So we have a village Facebook page. We use the My Millersburg app. If you don't have that downloaded, please go download it.
We use it.
Now you aren't going to get a daily update from us by any means, but you know, a street closure, water main break, upcoming event, something big, we push it out and we update it. You know, hey, the street's back open now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to do everything we can. We've also got on our website, we've got a contact us button that sends a form, and it comes to me and Mary Schaefer. So Duplicity, if I'm not in that day, or you know, if I'm out of a service area, whatever, somebody's going to get that email and we're going to get back to you. We respond to all of those. And we're there. You can physically walk in. That's one of the beautiful parts about local government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got a problem with the federal government, good luck going and talking to somebody.
Right.
We're here. We're at 6 North
and
Washington.
You can't get away.
You can walk in. You can catch me in the parking lot. You can catch me at dinner. You know, we're here. We're part of the community as well. And I think that's a good thing.
It kind of holds you accountable to make sure you're doing what's best for the village.
Sure.
And you probably hear more when you're doing something somebody doesn't like than when it's all good. It's kind of like with that water. When the water's working,
yeah, right.
Nobody really knows it.
But it's a good thing. I've always appreciated other people's points of view because it helps us to form our decision. As a resident on a certain street, if we're talking about, I don't know, adding curbs and sidewalks, you may have a real good concern or hesitation about maybe it shouldn't be run here. Maybe you should look at this that we would have never thought about because we don't live there.
Right.
So, yeah, I welcome any input. I can take criticism. I'm good with it. It's how the system's supposed to work. And I appreciate
that. Public official thing.
I signed up for this.
You're like, I agreed to this.
Yep, absolutely.
And you said you've been in since 2011 as the administrator. Has the job changed a lot in those times, or has it remained pretty stable?
The day-to-day hasn't really changed too much. We still do what we've always done and what they've done since the early times of the village. You know, there was, as long as they had utilities and streets, there was somebody maintaining them. Somebody had to make decisions, look into projects, pursue funding, all that stuff. The biggest change I've seen, good and bad, is social media. Social media has changed everything. Not just government, everything.
Everything.
Everything. We're bombarded, as people, we're bombarded with information. It's constantly cycling. You know, the news cycle is refreshing constantly. So it's a great tool to get our message out or to get those updates out or to get input on, hey, we're thinking about this project. What do you guys think? What as a community, what do you want to see? We've done that several times.
I was going to say, you guys have done that multiple times.
There's also the negative side that comes with it. And that's fine. that's allowed. That's a good thing.
Right.
Because there is good that comes out of it that, hey, if both sides are willing to talk, that's how we'll come to a compromise or an understanding, maybe not a compromise even, just an understanding of, hey, this is why we're doing it. I'm sorry you don't agree with it, but that's what we feel is best for the village or the residents.
That's what's legally required. Or
exactly. Yeah, that's the other side of it is people don't always understand that, hey, we'd love to come in and
do
all these grand things, but legally we can't do it. We're governed by the Ohio Revised Code on what we can and can't do mm-hmm. with public money.
Exactly, because that's everything is how the village runs is all on taxpayer funds.
Right.
So, yeah, just like, hey, this project sounds mm-hmm. fun.
Yep. Fun doesn't always pass the test.
That's right. Yep. So, is there anything else kind of day to day that you have to make sure gets done before you get into your projects or anything?
So there's always the, you know, quarterly, monthly, semi-annual reporting that we have to do with state and federal mm-hmm. agencies. And those vary. You know, it could be EPA, natural resources, HUD.
But it comes down commerce. To you making sure those are off to where they go. And
yeah, I may not physically be the one filling them out, but I'm reviewing
and going over those.
I do fill out a lot of them. But so like utility monthly operating reports, they take mm-hmm. care of those.
And, right.
You know, I don't watch them fill those out every day. And we have steps in place that we have multiple people reviewing those mm-hmm. things before they're submitted. Just verifying data is correct. Numbers are right as to what was reported that day. Yeah, a lot of my things are maybe more quarterly or semi-annual, annual reports that weave those into your day-to-day as well.
You got to weave that desk part in.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And then there's the whole financial side of things too. You know, we work very closely with Bobby Curry, our fiscal officer, on a daily basis on, hey, where do we want to take this project or this item? Where were you thinking we'd take that from? It could be one of four different categories within our line items.
And it could be multiple categories, too.
Sure. Because
if you're doing a street repair project, there's lines underneath
yep.
that need to be taken care of.
Yep.
Now you're mixing water, sewer,
you could have utilities, streets, lighting, whatever. There's multiple different things that could be involved.
So it's not just like, oh, hey, street project, street department,
yep. boom,
that's it.
Yep.
It's, okay, where? How does this break down? What percentage of the project is this? Mm-hmm. What's that? And it's you have to take it out of the right places.
Right, because, you know, for instance, right now it's January, it's early January. We just mm-hmm. started our new appropriation for the year. We got to make it till December 31st. So you always got to be thinking, oh yeah, we needed to replace X, Y, and Z. That's what that money was set there for. So don't touch that till we order those things or whatever the case may be.
And so you kind of sit in on the budget part of all
Absolutely.
Your departments as well and
yeah.
make sure you've got the right projects
yep.
at the top of the list.
Yep. And that's a challenge because the way government works, we prepare our budgets in June for the following year. And that's been a real challenge the last several years with pricing.
Yeah,
it's
a
wild guess sometimes that, well, they quoted this now. Quotes may be good for 15 days anymore, you know, not 90 days or something.
They may not have the availability by the time you
commit. It may not be an option at the time. So you got to look at another product or service or whatever the case may be, and who knows what their prices are. So it's been a challenge for sure.
So even in the normality and the regularity, there's always some spontaneity.
Absolutely. That was very poetic.
I try. I write for a living.
Yep.
Well, we are going to learn more about what a village administrator does, and that is Millersburg Village Administrator Nate Troyer for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. We are returning here with Millersburg Village Administrator Nate Troyer for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick, and in some of the other past segments here, we've kind of tiptoed around the subject of grant funding, but as a village, you guys have multiple opportunities, and you had mentioned how important it is that you utilize every opportunity for a grant to fund all the projects.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of sources of grant funds out there. If you just go online and Google grants, there's an endless list. We have to whittle it down to what we're eligible for, obviously. Public Works, Ohio Public Works Commission is probably a primary grant source for villages and, you know, municipalities in Ohio. That's your infrastructure funding, transportation, water, sewer. There's also Appalachian Regional Commission, ARC funds that are available. Omega is really good. Omega is the Ohio Mid-Eastern Government Association.
You cracked that off real quick.
Well, 23 years. we're a member of the Omega region. They're really good at putting puzzles together with funding sources, and they've got some discretionary money, some grant money that they've started for transportation improvements in the region. So that's, I'm on the transportation advisory committee for that group. So there were some grant funds available. I'm hoping to bring some of that back to Millersburg here in the coming years for another sidewalk project I have in mind. So yeah, we've got Omega, OPWC, ARC, there's CDBG, Community Development Block Grants. I know I'm missing a bunch. The Ohio EPA, we also just applied for a generator grant, a backup generator grant for our water well. And on-site, we currently use a trailer-mounted generator as needed. This would be an on-site with automatic transfer switch.
Which makes it so nice.
Much better situation for us.
ODNR.
ODNR, there's some. We don't get into that a whole lot. There is some there. There's Department of Agriculture. There's all these niches you can fit into depending on what your project is. They're very specific to the project. So that's one of the things we're always looking at is how can we, what's out there? This is our project. What's out there? What can we apply for? Can we stack them to leverage our dollars even further? They all have a match requirement of some percentage, depending on what you're doing. So it gets a little complicated. You've got, you know, 75% funding on this grant, 25% local match. This grant's 90% grant fund, 10% local. So you got to juggle the numbers.
Then is make the everything local fit. Cash or is the local in kind?
It can be either, you know, either or.
Figuring all that out.
A combination of both at times. There's also zero to low interest loan money available through like Ohio EPA. They have a revolving loan fund. We've used that for multiple projects, water tank improvements or rehabs. That kind of thing.
Because sometimes a project's just too big and there just isn't the grant funding.
You need a loan.
Because it has to be done.
To fill out the rest of it. The wastewater treatment plant project is one that comes to mind that we got as much. I wasn't directly involved at that time. That was all in place before I started with the village. But it completed during my time here. So that had a long list of grant funds and then also a very sizable loan from Ohio EPA. So that was, don't quote me on this, that was over a $5 million project.
It's not, sewer and water plants are not cheap.
No.
And then they're outdated as soon as they're completed.
Yeah. We're fortunate.
They're like computers.
Yeah. Yeah. We're fortunate we've kept up on ours very well. But we're getting to the age, you know, 2005, I believe, is when that was went online, that update. We're 21 years now. After that, capacity-wise, we're great, but we're going to have to start looking at some bigger item replacements or rehabs.
So there's a lot of moving parts for a wastewater treatment plant.
Anybody that's interested, get a hold of us. We'd love to give you a tour. It's a very interesting process.
It's a very interesting tour. Yeah. I've toured different, my village one. You learn a lot. There's a lot of process that goes into where it comes in, and can be distributed back into a creek.
Yep. Yeah, I love to see people's faces when they see the final effluent. It's clear water. It looks like drinking water when it comes out. And it's always neat to see that reaction of, wow, you do that here. It's like, yeah.
All in this one little spot. Yep.
Yep. It's pretty interesting. So, but yeah, it kind of got diverted there. But grant funds are crucial to doing these big item
projects. Now, do you ever just kind of scan through grants and be like, I could put a project to that?
That's kind of how the generator grant came. Yeah, we do. So, yeah, the generator grant was one. So these agencies all send out updates all the time. Hey, here's a funding or opportunity announcements, that kind of thing. We're getting emails, letters, whatever, all the time. So we you know, you review those things, and you're always looking at it and maybe put it on the clipboard that, hey,
what
hang on to that. Maybe something
this
will come up that we could use that. We've got a great relationship with the county as well. They get a lot of grants, I guess, diverted to them to be divvied out, kind of thing. I'm sure there's a technical word for it, but it escapes me right now. But we've got a great relationship with the commissioners and Arnie Oliver at the Planning Commission. You know, neighborhood stabilization, the demolition grants that have happened. We've done a lot of demolition of blighted
some
properties.
Some amazing transformation.
Oh, absolutely. Structures that needed to come down 20 years ago are now down. That it improves the looks, the value, everything. It, you know, it's good for everybody. You got willing property owners that want to take it down. They just maybe didn't have the means to do it. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, it's free money.
It'll encourage reinvestment eventually. It may not be that owner. It may not be the next owner. But at some point, somebody will likely build.
Hey, that's a nice lot.
Yeah, I could build a house there, which is something that has been a hot topic with housing needs in our area.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Well, that actually sounds like a great place to take a moment here and then come back in and talk about housing. That's Village Administrator Nate Troyer. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. We are coming back here to Focus Fridays with Millersburg Village Administrator Nate Troyer. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And we've talked a lot about the different functions of Village Administrator. And one of the things that you're into right now is a really big project that essentially ties into everything because it has to do with housing. And everything is affected when housing is affected in a village.
Yeah, so this is an exciting project for us. We've hired a consultant, Envision, to do a housing needs assessment with us, for us. It includes the village and also the outlying county, mainly the western part of the county that we're looking at. In a nutshell, they're going to try to come up with what is the need in Holmes County, in that part of Holmes County. We've all been hearing about housing. The shortage.
It's a hot topic.
It's everywhere. It affects everything. There definitely is a shortage. What I've gathered so far, we're kind of in the middle of the data collection and we're interviewing various stakeholders that are involved in the housing industry. And what I've heard time and time again is the housing stock, there's just nothing available on the markets. And if it is, there's an obvious reason why it's been there for that long. So and then you can break that down into other categories, subcategories, whatever. There's various levels of housing. Affordable housing is thrown around as a general term.
But what is affordable?
That's bingo. What's affordable to you, to me, to everybody varies based on your personal situation.
And who's deciding what is affordable,
right.
What are their standards?
Right. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
No.
It's very specific and unique to every individual homeowner. So yeah, obviously we talked earlier about rising costs, inflation with everything. That obviously hits construction, home building as well. So there's that piece of it. This report, this study, I'm hoping will point out some areas, both physical and conceptual, that we can focus our efforts on. Maybe the single family home on half an acre to 5 acre lots isn't feasible in the village of Millersburg. We don't have those big pockets of vacant ground that a traditional subdivision.
Ground is not a hot commodity in.
Right. A traditional subdivision would fit in, you know, with 50 homes in it on nice sized lots. That's just not a reality for us right now, I don't believe. So maybe the answer is, do we look at vacant, underutilized properties and looking at densities? A townhouse set up, condos, apartments, maybe in the way. I don't know. We'll just have to see what this report comes up with. So it's been a very interesting so far. Obviously, the Envision Group, they're looking at census data. They're looking at all kinds of reports that they have access to, as well as these stakeholder interviews, put it all together and come up with recommendations, tools that we can use for funding sources, see what comes of it.
And I'm sure they're going to have a lot of suggestions that you guys can, you know, take forward and really help to improve the village. Because if you improve the housing, you improve the job market, you improve all of that, because now you're getting those people into the area.
Right. It's, you know, high tide raises all ships. It's all got to be there. You got to have jobs. You got to have houses for those people that work those jobs. Those people then live in your community. They spend money in your community that support. It's all cyclical, you know, it's all part of the big picture that you need that for a thriving community. And it's just, and good news, bad news, it's not just a Millersburg or a Holmes County problem.
No,
it's
not at all.
It's nationwide, but I'm comforted knowing we're trying to do something, that we're looking outside of, or just wringing our hands and saying, well, that's just the way it is.
It just isn't anything.
I don't like that answer. Let's try to do something here.
And it's only going to get more interesting with all the data centers being built, because while they're an hour and a half away, people will live this far away they'll come try and find houses here.
Sure, the market may dictate that they have to, just based on affordability and what's realistic for their budget.
And then you as the administrator too, watching, okay, so if we're going to increase and add potential apartments, townhouses, homes, you have to make sure, okay, our water can handle this, our sewer can handle this, our streets can handle this, or do we need to add a new street or annex in something or something?
That'll all be part of the grand picture, is making sure all the pieces are there that need to be there for it to be functional.
So that jigsaw puzzle is still being
put
together.
We just opened the box.
Are you guys hoping that'll get done this, like, by summer, or?
Yeah, we should have the report back in the next couple months. Once that's available, it'll be a public document. We'll share it. I would anticipate we'll have like a public meeting or workshop. Anybody that's interested, come in. We'll talk about the findings, have more discussion on next steps. My ultimate hope is that we're able to take that, either that document or the ideas that come out of that document, conversations, whatever it is, would spur somebody to do something, whether that's in partnership with us or not.
It may require some changes in ordinances and stuff.
Zoning regulations, that kind of thing, the utility side of things, streets like we talked about. I think for us to make this work, we're going to all have to be open-minded. And maybe accept that, hey, what traditionally worked may not work anymore with the current markets. Maybe we'd be wiser to look at XYZ versus A, B, and C.
100%. It's a changing world. The population is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the houses aren't.
Right. Yep. There's only so much land available. There's not more land coming out of the factory somewhere. So
not at all.
We've got to work with what we have. And, the other key I want to get out there is we are not looking by any means to take all the farmland and slap a house on it.
Just going to fill the whole county with houses.
That's the last thing I want to do. We need to improve what we've got.
And preserve.
Preserve what we've got as well. Preserve our character. Because Holmes County is an awesome place.
It's unique.
It's very unique. It's beautiful. I've lived here all my life and I have no goal of going anywhere else. Other than maybe once I retire, disappear on my sailboat that I've never sailed in my life, but the dream. We need to preserve what we have and also be open to
accommodating
what the needs are, both now and into the future.
Yeah, for sure. And it can only build a better community.
Sure.
If exactly. done right.
Yep. That's the goal.
With that, we've got one last segment that we'll have here with Village Administrator Nate Troyer for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. We are back one last time with Millersburg Village Administrator Nate Troyer for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. And you've mentioned it in a couple different segments, different groups that you're involved in. But in your position as Village Administrator, there are many community groups, governmental groups, committees, all these things that you're involved in to essentially help you with your job, but also help the village go too.
So yeah, the networking and collaboration is a big part of the job. I'm on, so as village administrator, our mayor and council are elected. They're part-time. They typically have jobs during the day. They're not around village hall all day like we are. So it's kind of a natural fit that I'm the designated representative for the village. Liaison, whatever, for council and the mayor. But so, yeah, I serve on, well, I'll start with the village first. So I attend all the council meetings, report to them the things we're working on. Then there's also the other village committees, the planning and zoning committee, the design review board, Tree City, and all the subcommittees of council, other than like the police committee, I'm a representative of. are on, appointed to those committees as well. Those don't meet regularly per se, but if there's a big utility issue or something, we may have some committee meetings to attend. We also have, the village has representation on the Holmes County Planning Commission, the Holmes County Family and Children First Council, Holmes County Standing Against Falls Coalition. Sure, I'm forgetting some. Solid Waste. I'm a member of the Solid Waste Committee. The Holmes County Community Improvement Corporation, the CIC. I'm a member of that board. Also a Rotary member. And then there's outside of Holmes County, there'd be like I'm a Ohio Public Works Commission. Our district is made up of the member communities, a representative from each one. So I'm on that committee. I'm on the Small Cities Subcommittee of that group. There's the Omega TAC Board that I'm a member of as well. There's been, over the years, there's been various ODOT affiliations with different initiatives they may have had. So it can be a lot of times. There's a lot of...
Like, that sounds like a lot of meetings.
A lot of meetings. Yeah, there's a lot of meetings. But fortunately, the vast majority of them happen during the workday. Mm-hmm. So most importantly, I'm a husband and dad. that's my main duty in life. I've got a wonderful wife and four awesome young boys that keep us going in many different directions. And I wouldn't change a thing about that. The beautiful part of it, though, is I've got Chad Klein with me now. We hired him as an assistant administrator. So between the two of us, we've divvied up some of those mm-hmm. different appointments and committees, and he's been such a benefit to the village and to me personally. I mean, he's a great guy to be around. If you know Chad, you know that. He's a lot of fun, but he's a great worker. He's a great asset to the village, and it's lightened my burden on these extracurricular evening things.
Well, and it gives you a little room to add some other things that maybe you were missing because you got another body.
Yep. One of the biggest benefits I've seen so far is it's allowed me to not work so reactively, but start to be more proactive. Things I've been thinking about doing, I can start doing now, planning future projects, internal changes at the village to streamline things or to make a better process for everybody, kind of behind the scenes things that don't really affect the residents directly, but they do because we're more efficient then. So it mm-hmm. allows us to be open to more time for them or, you know, whatever
new
the case
projects,
may be.
New additions, new grants. You know.
Yeah. So that's been a breath of fresh air for me. It's been good.
Because it sounds like you have a lot of representation area, but like you mentioned, the networking within all that is invaluable.
Absolutely.
It's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
Yeah. And historically, I've not been a big fan of that. I think, you know, projects should stand on their own merit. But the reality of it is you do have to be connected. You do have to build those relationships. And it's just a good thing. It's not underhanded or anything like that. I don't want to imply that. It's just my personality more so coming out. But no, it's been good. We've got a great relationship with the county and the state. The commissioners, Arnie, Mark Leininger, all those folks we work with all the time. It's a mutual benefit. Mm-hmm. A strong county is good for the village. Strong village is good for the county. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes both ways. And ultimately just affects the residents. That's what we're here for. That's a good thing. If we're working together on things, they've thrown money at some of our projects. We help out when we can with things they're mm-hmm. doing, whether that's manpower, equipment, money. We've partnered on different things.
And well, the housing assessment, we're splitting that. It's
going to, because we both recognize, look, it doesn't stop at the corporation limit. You don't have to live in the village to work at ABC company. Mm-hmm. So let's make this all work together.
And teamwork makes the dream work.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Absolutely.
I've got all the quotes.
Yep. You should write a book.
And it's another story. Is there anything that we've kind of left out on your job or any last thoughts that you want to share about village administrator?
I'm sure I've missed. It's one of those jobs that it's hard to just say you do this.
To give the list.
Yeah. And I love that. I'm sure I've forgotten major things that I'm responsible for or do.
But at least it's getting done. You're just not talking about
it. Yeah. No, I guess my takeaway would be that I'm extremely thankful for the staff that we have. The people that we have involved in the village are tremendous people, top to bottom. We're very fortunate. I'm also very thankful for the residents that we have. We may not always agree on everything. There may be,
and that's good,
contentious issues, but that to me is a sign of a healthy government function, mm-hmm. right? That, hey, if we're not arguing, that means we're not even talking.
Right.
So at least we're having conversations. We may not come to an agreement or a compromise, but at least we had the dialogue, if nothing else. And it gets both sides thinking, and hopefully, I think we need more of this in the world, that, hey, at least we tried, we're talking. Eventually, something's going to come of it.
Because realistically, you know you're not going to please everyone.
You can't. You never will.
Never.
And that's okay. You do what's best for the most.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and chatting about your job in the village and what's going on, and really giving people kind of an inside look on some of the things that you do to keep the village of Millersburg running.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. And I do want to encourage any resident, visitor to town, anybody, please contact us if you need anything, you have any concerns. We're there. We're available. That's what we're there for. Please.
Or if you want to see how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on down. We'll.
It really is interesting, I promise.
Yep.
That was Millersburg's Village Administrator Nate Troyer. For WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't miss an episode of Focus Fridays here on WKLM each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour after hometown news and the Ion weather forecast. If you do happen to miss an episode, make sure to go to our website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Friday icon to find the episode that you missed. In the next edition of Focus Fridays, we focus in on Holmes County Job and Family Services Director Dan Jackson. It's here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.